Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil is back with intern who can't call you Survivor Specialist, man. Have to take my shots when I can. But intern is back replacing Alexa yet again as she watches her beloved Red Sox, I think probably beat the Dodgers. But either way, root for a sweep, and she'll be back as soon as possible. And we can end the onslaught of guest appearances by intern Vaughn and Bradley one time. But intern, you surpassed them all, and this is your second time showing up.
I did. I made it. I made it back. Thank you all for the demands in the comments of returning, of having the intern return. Much appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was ready to not bring him back. I was done with it after once, but all those comments, they were so supportive. And then, you know, there was a couple negative ones where intern was texting Alexa and I late at night. You know, I think he might have been crying about it, but that's okay. It's okay because Alexa and me and Will used to do the exact same thing. So welcome to semi-internet fame. It's the most fun ever.
I only cried a lot. It was okay.
Yeah, exactly. There was one big one that was quite hilarious. I'm looking at you, Steve Holt. It might not have been hilarious, but poor intern over here. He had it coming, and but he came back. He's ready to show you all what he's learned in 2 weeks, I guess. And once again, he gets to come into episodes that are great while Alexa gets to sit at home and not watch episodes that are great. I'm sure that when she's able to do all of season 38, it'll be an absolutely terrible season because that's the curse Alexa brings with her. But here we go tonight. Natalie Cole finally goes home. What are you thinking about Natalie Cole going home tonight and this 2-2 split now on the Jabroni Tribe?
Dude, the Jabroni Tribe. I actually – so this entire episode, it was, man, I love Natalie. Like, I loved Natalie at the end of the last episode. And then I'm like, ooh, like, she's getting a little mean in the middle of this episode. And then at the end, I was like, no, Natalie is so funny. She's so fun. Mm-hmm. It's not like a bad villain where you, like, hate the people. But Natalie would say something, and you're like, ooh, that burns, like, just enough. Like, not enough for, like, actually be mean. But I really enjoyed her. So it makes sense why they did it, but I will miss our dear Natalie Cole.
Yeah, and I'm having trouble figuring out why they did it, to be completely honest with you. And first, let's talk about jackets first, because that's the biggest part of the end of this.
Right.
Honestly, if I'm Natalie, I'm not giving Angelina my jacket either. Because the way that this went down, talking Goliath strong, Goliath strong, Goliath strong – it didn't seem like Natalie and Mike had that tight of a bond, but Angelina and Mike probably appeared a lot closer than maybe we led on while we're watching the show. So right. Natalie's probably thinking that Angelina has something to do with this. And on top of that, it was kind of Angelina's fault that Natalie even brought the jacket up. Not even kind of. It was absolutely Angelina's fault. Angelina didn't want to start it herself, so she told Natalie to do it. And that maybe might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm sure Mike probably was going to vote this way anyway. But this seemed like, in Natalie said at least at that moment, just be thinking, wow, this jacket thing, that's really what they're harping on here. And that's what ultimately got me voted out of this game.
Yeah, I mean, we saw like in this episode and in past episodes that Natalie wasn't exactly the most aware of the not what she was saying, but how other people were perceiving it. And so I missed the her final words, unfortunately, because
her final words were very self-aware, honestly.
Were they? Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that. But I mean, it makes sense. I would think that the jacket thing, it was enough. It was a big enough deal to like make a full episode, or not a full episode, so to be mentioned in the episode. So I mean, you know, maybe once we get like exit interviews from her, we'll see exactly what she thought. But yeah, that was a lot over just a jacket. And then when Larsa was like, "Can I have your jacket?" I was like, "Oh, there we go."
It was great. It was Angelina too. I'll stop everybody from jumping down your throat because you slipped with the name, but that's okay. But the thing is, Angelina asked for it, and Natalie's final words, so pretty much what she said is some of that was true, not all of it was true. She deserved some of the negative attention. She didn't deserve all of it. And she said, "I'm not giving Angelina my jacket because I don't have to, and because she might have had something to do with my boot." And you know what? I don't really blame Natalie in that moment, because she could be sitting there thinking, did Angelina set me up to like ask for this jacket and know that it was going to cause such a problem and then vote with me so that I'll give her my nice warm jacket? Like, I don't really blame Natalie for being hurt over this one. This was a blindside. Natalie did not see this coming. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say it again. This is a bad move. This is back-to-back weeks where the Goliaths made bad moves. And it was Alec last week. And hey, maybe Mike feels really close with Nick, but this is a bad
move. Who do you think made the bad move?
Mike. Absolutely Mike.
Really?
Yeah, he should have never – you don't know enough about what's going on the other tribes. You don't know enough about this David tribe. You don't know enough about where Nick and Lyrsa fit in with the other side. And you know that Natalie is not going to get along with anyone. You know that no matter what happens the rest of this game, everybody is going to be so annoyed by Natalie. So – she's not a threat to beat you, and she's not a threat to betray you, because she doesn't have anywhere to go. Nobody's going to be like, "Oh, Natalie, come play with us." And by doing this, now the numbers are even 7-7. On your own tribe, it's 2-2. Angelina, of course, isn't going to trust you. In the preview for next week, it's like Mike being all shocked. She doesn't trust me. Of course she's not going to trust you, because you just voted out somebody that Angelina clearly wanted to take us all the way to the end with her. That's why Angelina was ready to sit there. And that's a smart move by Angelina. You should want to take somebody like Natalie to the end with you. But yeah, I think that this is a really bad move by Mike. Now you have one tribe. You started off with three tribes where the Goliaths had the advantage over the Davids. Now you have one tribe where there's the advantage, one where it's tied, and one where the Davids actually have the advantage over the Goliaths. That's troublesome. That's real. And the one where the Goliaths have the advantage is never going to lose.
Yeah, I think so. I see what you're saying, and I agree with why Mike had the bad decision. I will say that maybe like if he didn't feel as strongly like of being able to work with Natalie. You know, I feel like you should play Survivor with people that you trust and that you are able to work with. And if he is, you know, if he's willing to sacrifice Natalie and like, you know, maybe, yeah, he hasn't spent as much time with Lyrsa and Nick as he has with Angelina. But that's two people as compared to one in Angelina. Mm-hmm. I think Mike had a really good point about him, like he really wanted Angelina to flip also, because if it was a 3-2 vote, then the Goliaths will see it as, oh, Mike flipped. But if it's a 4-1 vote, then it's, oh, obviously, you know, something, there's some unanimous reason that we had to vote Natalie out, and it's not it doesn't seem as much like Mike is flipping.
Well, and not for nothing too, the shock that Natalia went home when they announced at the reward challenge that Natalia had been voted out, every Goliath's face hit the ground. I mean, they were all shocked, every single one of them. And I think that tells you that the Goliaths were tight. And hey, maybe Mike is making the right move here. Maybe he can work better with Nick. But Nick and Christian also worked together and pulled off a blindside in their episode together. And maybe Nick hasn't forgotten all of that, and he's going to want to work with Christian again at some point. And Mike doesn't seem like he has much of a relationship with Lyrsa. We haven't seen anything between him and Lyrsa. I don't even know if they've spoken. I think the only thing that we heard was Lyrsa tonight say, "I really just want to make the merge." And then Angelina seemed like somebody who was willing to – she seemed obviously a lot closer to Natalie than she was to Mike, but she also seemed like a voice of reason – that was trying to take Natalie all the way to the end with her, but you can get rid of Natalie at any time in this game. You really can. And by getting rid of her, you get rid of a target, you get rid of somebody who's going to vote with you, and you get rid of a number for the Goliaths. And I think it's just too early. I think that, you know, for as boring as it would have been if Lyrissa goes home, because you're expecting it, you almost have to play this the way Navidi played it, where you need to make sure your tribe has the numbers just in case all of the Davids are ready to, like, form a coup here and flip on you. Plus, they're all underdogs. Underdogs have a way of wanting to unite together to take down the top dog.
I think so going back to your point about, like, taking Natalie to the end, there was, like, this, like, analysis of, like, Cerise 3-2-1 vote in Panama. And basically what people think her strategy was is that she identified that there was a goat that people wanted to take to the end. And so if people see Natalie and everyone sees Natalie as I want to take her to the end, that's a spot that could be filled by you instead. So yeah, she would be great to take to the end, but if she's guaranteed a spot in the end, that could be a spot that's yours. So, I mean, also it is like pre-jury. So
maybe it's also 15th place.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, If it's always like the, oh, we can get rid of Natalie later, I mean, that's how a bunch of Survivor contestants have made it to the end. So,
absolutely. And I hear what you're saying. I just think right now, here's the situation. Jabroni stinks. Their tribe is bad. They're the weakest tribe by far. Yeah. And, you know, tonight it wasn't all about strength, but even in a challenge that wasn't about strength, they still lost. So they're the worst tribe. Get rid of Lyrissa tonight. You have the numbers 3-1. Get rid of Natalie next time. Nick has nowhere else to turn. He has nowhere else to turn. And maybe Mike didn't think that he could convince Angelina to vote out Natalie. And maybe that's why he decided to do it this time. And maybe next time he's going to try to say, hey, Nick, come with me. We're actually close. We're the rock stars. Do their stupid air guitar thing. And say, now take Angelina and let's get rid of Lyrissa.
I like the air guitar thing, Phil. It's fun. It's cool.
Is it? Is that what you and your friends do at college?
Intern? Yeah, we do that every day. That's how we say hi to each other.
I don't even know how to act right now. But when you know what it was when Nick actually goes, yo, Mike. Bam. Like, why did he have to say, yo, Mike, and get him to turn around?
It's fun. It's how you do a, you know, if you put like a label on something, it like makes it more serious and more real. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the way of just like, oh yeah, like I still, you know, we're still friends, Mike. Don't worry.
Yeah. You and me, man, we're buddies. But you know, so I could maybe think that Mike was worried that he wouldn't be able to flop or flip Angelina to actually vote off Natalie, but Natalie seemed like she was rubbing people so far the wrong way that why can't he flip her and convince her and say, look, either you're voting with us or me and Nick are going to end up voting out Natalie anyway, and then it's going to be a tie, and you really want to go through the mess of a tie right now. And no, you don't want to go through the mess of a tie right now. So I do think that you get rid of Lyrissa now and get rid of Natalie next because you're probably going to lose again. And if you're going to lose again, you're going to have probably two more chances to get rid of Natalie, maybe one more chance, because I think they're merging at 12 this season. I don't really know. But you're going to have at least one more chance to get rid of Natalie. And if you have one more chance, get rid of her then. This way you ensure you have the numbers, and then it's 2-1 going into the merge. I don't know. I just think that this is a rough move.
I think it's incorrect to assume that you're going to lose twice. I mean, yes, that there are – sorry, they're a really weak team. They're a really weak tribe, but like, if you go into like, especially like, you know, pre-jury stuff, you're like, oh, we'll knock one down and then like knock the other person down later. If you take out Lyrissa,
it's a first time I've ever heard this name. So
right.
I get it.
I'm doing my best. Sorry, Lyrissa. So if you vote out Lyrissa and then be like, oh, we'll just get Nick next week. Then what if, you know, you just, what is it? Like you go to another swap and then you're in the minority and Nick is like, oh, you were going to take me out. Looks like I'm going to target you. I don't think you can assume that you're going to lose again just to take down another number.
But I also think that Mike and Nick were close enough that Mike could have convinced Nick to come in on this vote and make it a 4-1 vote. I really do think that he could have done it because Nick was even willing. He said, I'll vote Lyrissa. I'm ready to vote Lyrissa to save himself. And I don't blame him. That's what you have to do. So I think that Mike could have convinced Nick, hey, I'm with you, but we got to get rid of Lyrissa tonight because we got to if we're going to lose again, Angelina needs to think that we're on her side. Like, we need Angelina moving forward. We need her to make ends with the girls on the other side. Because remember, Nick has no relationship with Gabby. He thinks he had a relationship building with B, but B is out of the game. He thinks he has a relationship with Elizabeth, but who knows, you know? So I think that there was a better way to do this. I'm curious to see how it's going to work out in the future. I mean, Look, I love Natalie. I thought Natalie was great TV. I thought she was really fun. She was not, she wasn't like mean. And I know that Nick was offended thinking he was being bullied and, you know, whatever. And I get it. It's annoying. You don't want to be told, hey, is it worth $1 million? Obviously, that's just being annoying.
That was acid tongue. That was great.
Yes, exactly.
It was like the edge of like, so when I tell people that I watch reality TV, like that, I feel like that's as close to what people imagine I watch reality TV is like. They're like, oh, you watch it just for the drama and people like yelling at each other. Like that was almost it. And yeah. It was great.
That was fantastic. I love that moment. I thought Natalie she had one line after another. I mean, when she's talking about the storm, she loves the weather. She's ready for the weather. And then like the wind starts picking up. She's like, I think we got to go now. I'm really surprised Natalie went home as early as she did with how much of an edit she got and how she was like dictating what was going on, which I guess is what she was doing in the game too. She was with the eggs thing. I don't know anything about eggs, so I probably would have just sat off to the side, but I can understand why Natalie is worried. Like, let's cook these because we don't want them to go bad. We don't have a refrigerator or whatever. I understand where her mindset is. I just think that there's obviously a better way to talk to people than the way Natalie Cole was talking to people on that island. That's where it lies.
I thought it was really funny at Tribal Council when like someone would say something and then Natalie would shut that person down. And then someone else would say something and Natalie would shut that person down. And then Jeff does his like, he like points things out and he's like, oh yeah, Natalie was offended by Angelina. And Natalie talked back to Jeff Probst and was like, I'm not offended by Angelina. We're great friends. We just have our differences. And I'm like, oh yes, she's even talking back to Jeff and Jeff is backing off from Natalie Cole. That was power. That was great.
It was awesome. It was great. And I loved watching that happen. And I think, you know, I think that the problem with Natalie is she's been in a position of power for so long that she doesn't know how to interact with people beneath her as if they're just people, because she's used to talking to them as if she's the boss, you're underneath me, and this is how we get things done efficiently. I mean, honestly, the word efficient is the best word to be used when describing what Natalie is trying to do. But because she's been out of it for so long, she doesn't know how to keep the common touch, I feel like, which is what she lost out on the island. But I don't think she's like mean-spirited. I don't think that she's hurtful. I don't think, you know, and I don't hate Jason and Scott as much as other people do, but they were definitely more mean-spirited than Natalie Cole. Russell Hantz was more mean-spirited than Natalie Cole. She was a villain, but she wasn't like this villain who is like, you're a bad person and I'm going to rip you apart. I'm going to call you names and do this and that. She was a villain who was a fun villain to listen to and a fun villain to watch.
Yeah, it was like a villain, like, I want things done my way, not like I want to hurt anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's a difference there. Nobody wants to be bossed around. She was an old school villain. That's really what it comes down to. She was a typical first boot in seasons 1 through 8, where she's so annoying. She won't stop talking about things that people just can't understand. And she's really aggressive. And you say, screw that. We're getting rid of you. We don't want to listen to it. That's what she was. But because it's a new school survivor, she finds somebody like Angelina who really fights for her to stay in the game. And so she gets to hang out for a little bit. But look, I don't know. I don't know with Natalie. I mean, I had fun with it. I just think that it was the wrong move to get rid of her now. I think that you've now evened it up. It's 7-7, Davids and Goliaths. And because the name of the season is still ultimately David versus Goliath, there's still going to be original tribal lines that come into play in this season. And I think that this is going to hurt Mike's game ultimately.
Sure. I also know that I think Tyson said that like once you switch tribes, you have to stick with the new tribe. This was listening to like another podcast that Tyson did.
How dare you?
Yeah. How dare I? Ooh, the traitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I still I don't know if Mike made a good decision or not. I'm not as adamant on his choice as you are. We'll see.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But that was it. That was the end of my thought.
Oh, okay. I will say Mike's not LVP of this episode, because this once again comes back to the whole Dom voting out Bradley thing. You can't say that this is a bad move until we actually see how it impacts his game. Because if this was a move that solidifies him, Learset, and Nick as final three, this is a fantastic move. Good for you. You did it. Moving on. But what I'm watching right now and the edit that every single person on Tuva, Tiva, whatever, is getting, and the edit that a lot of the people over on Vuku are getting, the way I'm looking at it is this is a bad move. But, you know, that's just my opinion. So
I see Mike as him just kind of like, oh, this is probably a good idea. And like kind of like guessing his way through the game, maybe more so than like other people. And I really love Mike. So.
Yeah. And I'm surprised, though, that Mike would do that, because Mike seems like he's a really big fan. You know, so I'm kind of surprised that he he's somebody who I'm surprised he's somebody who made this move. Cause even as the votes were being read, I was like, Angelina's too smart. Mike's too smart. They're not going to do it. They're not going to vote out Natalie here because they need that number right there. They need that one person. And it doesn't seem like anybody's made any type of relationship with Lisa. They just made relationships with Nick. So I don't know. I'm just not buying it. But we can go back to the beginning of the episode now. There's so much else that happened in this episode. Natalie Cole going home is such a big moment.
It is.
But you know, they got evacuated tonight, so that was the first time, and I don't know if that was, I wonder if that was actually the first time, because that storm obviously destroyed shelters, but was there another storm? There were some other storms that were pretty gnarly.
Yeah, there was the one in MPGX also.
I mean, in this season, I wonder if there was another time that maybe it was like a shorter, you know, something, you know, that they get pulled out. Because the weather has been awful. And this one I just think happened like in the middle of a day, which is probably why we're being notified that they're being evacuated.
If it's something like, we're going to wait like half an hour before you go back from a challenge.
Yeah, that's what I want. I wonder if there was another time where they were just held off of their beaches.
Yeah, but that's not really like, I mean, I guess like, yeah, like for the weather, that's like important because it's like playing such a big toll. But I guess like in terms of the storyline, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And I know that they got medevaced in Millennials versus Gen X, or they got evacuated Millennials versus Gen X. That's not what I was asking. I'm not saying it's you. I'm looking at the chat and everybody has already jumped in and said in Millennials versus Gen X. No, I meant in this season. Obviously, I remember Millennials versus Gen X. I was there. Okay. I know Adam.
Yeah. You know Adam. Your best friend with Adam.
There you go. So, but this was crazy. I mean, we saw, you know, they came back. Which shelter was it that was completely decimated? That was like full.
I don't remember. I just know that they were all like in really bad shape.
Yeah. I think it was purple. I think Jabroni's was the one that was really destroyed. Yeah. But anyway, so they got evacuated. You know, I kind of figured that they would give Tiva some of the lines there, and they had Christian, they had John, they had Gabby talking about how the sun was shining and how it could all be taken away in any moment. And then here come the clouds. So, you know, that's fun.
Yeah, I will have to say that the preview for this episode where Christian is like, today we are all Davids and that is the Goliath. Like, that's – he's totally playing to the theme of the season. And usually it's like a little cheesy, but that was so good. It was such good television.
Christian is a more toned-down version of Coach. He knows exactly how to get the screen time. He knows what he's supposed to say. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. But he's like a more toned-down, realistic version of Coach.
And I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, every episode, like – you think like, he's not going to – I feel like I would think that he would get boring after a while. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just something new every single time. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a fun character. And he's not a game bot. We don't just hear him talking strategy the whole time. I mean, tonight was fun with – he was the Haas of the Brochachos. And all of that. I forget what the other part – the genius or whatever. Him and Dan and John, it seems like they're all bonding really well. And we're getting all these different sides to Christian that aren't just strategy.
And his face when they were like, you're a part of the Brochachos now. He's like, are you serious? Really? This is awesome. And it was fantastic. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm going to throw you on the spot here. And I'm going to explain to everybody because you're so dedicated. You're dedicated, and that's why you get to be the intern. So you drove 4 hours to actually meet Gabby. How was meeting Gabby?
It was fantastic. I also met Brendan Shapiro and Candace and John Cody just to flex a little bit on.
Yeah, there you go. Flex like John would.
Yeah, just like John would. The parts where you see Gabby where like she's like super bubbly, like in a confessional or something, like that's who she is like all the time, and it's amazing, super fun. It was like her party, so I like didn't really get like one-on-one time with her because I would say like, let's take a picture, and then she'd be like, oh yeah, sure, and then like run off to go say hi to other people. But super fun, fantastic.
You weren't wearing a shirt that said intern so that they knew who you were, because no, then you probably would have gotten at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It was poor planning. I should have given your advice when you texted me about that, but next time I will do that. Make sure.
Yeah, and we know Brendan is the man, and you know, I got to meet him when he was out here for the finale last year, but haven't met the Codys, so I'm kind of jealous on that one. So this is a big sidebar, but I'm very jealous that you got to meet the Codys and that you even had the 1 second to take the picture with Gabby. Good for you. You know, I'm proud of you.
So all four of them got a picture at one point, and I was, they're like, can someone take a picture? And I'm like, Yeah, I'll do it. And so I got to take the picture for, of all the four survivors together.
There you go. There you go. That's almost as good as the picture I have of Bradley and Michael kissing, and I think Kellen and Libby kissing. But that hasn't made it to the internet. Bradley told me I'm not allowed to post that. Anyway. but yeah, so he drove all the way up to see Gabby, so that's good. Now we have an insider's perspective on Gabby. Also, Gabby didn't cry tonight. Anything to do with getting to meet intern? Possibly. I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's it. It's a... She met me, and then she retroactively went back into Survivor and then changed her timeline. Now we have a time travel as part of the Survivor canon. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Hey, you know what? It's getting more and more like Lost every season. So we're all good with that. But so Gabby had a little bit of time in her confessional. She didn't have a lot tonight. But you know, it was that tribe is winning, and you know that they're going to win. And they actually lost the reward challenge, which I was really surprised at. And Dan just could not hit the target, which Alec was really good at. And Dan just couldn't do it. He even said, I could hit the short one. Well, then why didn't you do that like an hour ago? Why are you aiming for the deep one for the entire time? I don't understand that.
I feel like once you get the harder to get one, it's just like, oh, yeah, like I got this easy one now. Mm-hmm.
So. But you got to get the easy one first so you can at least have that enlightenment of like, yes, we did it. We got one.
Got to do it now. Yeah.
You know, and so actually it was Vuku who won that one. Alec was really good. They got the chickens. We didn't even really see them with the chickens though. We didn't see anything over there. We got the fallout though. So we could, you know, really all we saw from that tribe was the fallout and Davey saying, Davey had the great line when the storm hit where he said, I got to get my black ass out of here. And he was like screaming. That was hilarious. Davey
is still so much fun to watch on TV.
Yeah, Davey is fun. Yeah.
And we're saying this about everyone, but like there are a lot of really good characters. Like no one, we even got like a bit from Allison too, which I really loved. And it just everyone's a good character. Then I want to see them on my TV screen.
That's the thing. I know some people are always going to get more confessionals than others, but I feel like this has been an even season, and I'm sure that there's going to be somebody who says, no, this person has 97 confessionals and this one has 4. But from what you're watching right now, I feel like you have your main characters and your supporting characters, and you don't have any Chelsea characters and you don't have any Dez characters. Like everybody's getting their share here. And yeah, it's the thing that people like, I feel like sometimes forget with Survivor is just because it's a reality show and these are people we're never going to see again. In any season of a show, there's main characters, there's guest characters, there's characters who are in one or two episodes. Like, that's just how it is. You need to build the storyline around your main characters. You can't build your storyline around every single character. It's just impossible to do. But I think right now they're doing a really good job of having everybody fit into the main character storyline, because I don't really know who the main characters are yet. I mean, I guess it's Kara and Davey and Christian and John and Gabby. That's what it feels like to me. And Nick, that's what it feels like to me. But everybody else is getting some time, and we got Allison tonight, and then you have the preview. You have Allison saying, going like to Gabby's aid and saying, I should work with you. I think that's what I've been looking for a couple seasons now, where what can we do with these small characters to turn them into, you know, important to the storyline? Because Allison is somebody who could very well invisible her way to, like, you know, final seven, and they could do that, but it seems like they're giving her something.
Yeah, and, you know, she very, very may well like still come out and be like a major character like post-merge or something. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Still pretty early on. We can see some of our major characters and then the other characters rise up. So,
absolutely. And somebody like Reed Kelly is a perfect example of that. San Juan del Sur, he did like nothing pre-merge, and then post-merge, he had a couple episodes in a row where it was gold the entire time leading up to his boot. So I do think that, I agree with you. I like that. I like everybody pretty much on this season. I mean, I'm really enjoying it, and it sucks that you lose Natalie, but you lose Natalie to keep Lyrsa and to keep Nick and to keep – you're keeping enough people and when you lose these big characters. And, you know, I feel like Natalie could have become like an Abby Maria type situation where you want certain amounts of Abby Maria, but you don't want too much Abby Maria. And maybe this is exactly – this is the perfect time for Natalie to go, because I certainly was not tired of her.
No. And I think it's good at like – I guess maybe like life advice coming from a 22-year-old, like to like always do something like just like, oh, I always wanted a little bit more, because if you go and then you get burnt out, then you regret it a little bit. So I think it's fine.
I think that's good. Leave something to be desired. That's good. That's how you come back for another season, you know?
Yeah.
That's why Kelly Wentworth came back.
That's how I come back for another episode. There we go.
There you go. Because the first episode, we were like, okay, that was okay, but he's got something in there. He's got something. He's got something he's ready to do. But yeah, so Vuku was kind of the most side tribe this week. They were the one that we heard the least from. But we did get to see the fallout. We heard a little bit from Carl where he was talking to Kara and he said, hey, you know, how do you feel about Alec completely betraying you like that? And it looks like Kara's ready to just throw Alec under the bus. And then you would think that Kara and Elizabeth, based on last week, are going to have this bond. And Elizabeth's actually saying, I can't trust her. She's got to be the next one to go. So what do you make of this Vuku tribe, and where do you stand on, and where these five stand, where the Davis actually have the advantage?
So I think Kara's in a kind of a weird spot because Alec just betrayed her. And now Elizabeth is like, oh, I don't really trust this person. I don't know who really she would turn to. I guess we didn't really see much of the dynamic with like Carl being there now. I think the Davids right now would probably stick together. I don't, and you know, we didn't really get that much, but I don't know if there are any cracks that could be exploited by Kara and Alec as of right now.
Yeah, and Alec seems pretty confident in what he did. And he's even saying to Kara, don't worry, I still have your back. I still have your back, whatever. You know, we just had to get rid of her. But does he not – is it not comprehending that it's 3-2 now in favor of the day?
We started the episode with Kara being like, this was such a bad idea. And Alec's like, yeah, we did it. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect retaliation from the end of last episode.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to be interesting because, you know, we're even seeing Elizabeth next week talking, I think, Carl in the preview. But I don't buy that where Elizabeth stood on that tribe and how she was on the opposite side of Carl and Davey. I'm not buying that it's all going to be 3-2. And now that the numbers are even, it even makes more sense for them to maybe not vote with Elizabeth or for Elizabeth to turn and go and vote with Kara and Alec, because now you have a little bit more room to play where you can kind of push the issue a little bit to try to push some of these Goliaths out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're given the opportunity to get an advantage, like going into the merge and maybe like just going on original tribal lines, you know, anything that you can use to get the numbers, you should take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with this whole Kara and Alec thing, I'm still waiting for this moment where Alec blows it and Alec goes home and whatever. But just the way I'm watching this, I don't see both of them going home pre-merge. I don't really see them bonding all that much. It almost seems like Kara is pissed at Alec right now, you know, because, you know, you just ruined everything. So I'm still waiting to see how does this come to be, and why was this picture of Alec and Kara of all people?
Maybe they were just, you know, maybe they're like, oh, let's just do something dumb, you know, like post a picture on Instagram. Maybe there's no reason behind it. Maybe it's the ultimate what's it called, misdirection, and they're actually like fifth place or something.
Yeah, that would be something. Hey, the way that this is going, when is Vuku going to lose? Is Vuku really going to lose the next challenge? They won the first one tonight. Did they win the second one? They won the second one. They won both challenges tonight. Like, first place, not just win, not lose. They won first place in both. So, I don't know. I feel like they're one of the stronger tribes, and now you lose Natalie on the other one, so that's not really – you're not really losing much there. But, you know, now you have to sit somebody out on these other tribes, and whoever Vuku sits out is – that means that their four are going to be stronger than the four over on Jabroni, and they're going to be better at puzzles than the four over on Jabroni, and they're going to be, you know, I don't know if they're better than anybody on Teva, but still, I think that they're in a much better spot.
Someone out, and they're still a really good tribe. So,
yeah, and I figure it'll be like Gabby who sits out for Teva the next time that they have a challenge for somebody.
Oh no, we're still really good. Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Like you sit Gabby out, and what are you really losing? And you know, if you sit somebody else out for the reward, I mean, look at what Christian did tonight in the challenge. I thought he did great to come in and relieve John. And the way it was edited, it made it look like it just took him one try. And he came in and he made it happen. And I think that says a lot about, you know, Christian, there's a lot more to Christian than meets the eye. And I think he's proving that on the season.
Also, I know that they can do like editing magic, but like that challenge was so close.
It was so close.
That was insane. I don't know if I actually don't think you can. Can you edit a challenge to be closer than it actually is? I don't think so, because like you see when Nick is done pulling the things, he just pulls both of them up and the ball goes in the hole. Like you can't edit. Like you can't be like, oh, we're just gonna like, you know, misorder these in a different direction and like suddenly they lose, right? So it was a close challenge.
It was, and I thought that this was one of the best challenges of the season. I liked the whole opening part. I liked everything up until this snake, and then I liked this snake. This is a better version of the one with the holes in the puzzle and everything. I thought this was better because there's less material for you to work on.
Dude, that was intense. Like, I would have problems doing that, like, right now, let alone, like, being 15 days with no food or sleep.
Yeah, and that was the best part of it, is they Christian came in and really, like, took one home there, and I was really surprised he was able to, because that was really close. And I think it was Alec who won it for Vuku, and Nick was doing really good. Nick was just moving so slow. He needed to just move a little bit faster, and he would have ended up having it.
Yeah. I mean, So it was, what am I saying? It's crazy because like I used to do swim team. This is my point. And they always taught you to never look to see what other people are doing, because that's going to slow you down. That's going to break your focus. You're not going to be able to compete. So maybe that's what Nick was doing. He's just, I have to focus on what I'm doing right now. And if I get distracted, then, you know, I'm going to literally drop the ball, and then, you know, I'm going to lose the challenge. So maybe he was just so focused on like not messing up that he wasn't able to see that he needed to pick up the pace. And maybe he was like, he heard Jeff say that, you know, the other two tribes dropped out, and he's like, all right, I'm going to slow it down. And maybe that was his downfall.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I mean, you never want to really be looking to the side, because once you start doing that, that's when yours falls off anyway, and then you're screwed. But I do think that he had to realize he was taking a really long time, and Jeff's not yelling, oh, they dropped, or oh, this, that, you know, it's just, wow, Christian with another big move, and Alec with another big move. And I think that really you have to be hearing that.
Those big moves, like, I was so intent on my TV, like, they pull it down, and I, like, jumped. I was like, ah, don't drop the ball. And it was so entertaining. And then we had in the midst of all that, we had Dan getting his idol, which is every time they do that, it's intense. It's so like, because there was something, are we allowed to do like Australian Survivor spoilers or no?
Spoilers?
Because there was a...
Well, did it already air?
It already aired, yeah.
Oh, if it aired, then go ahead and talk. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Sure. I thought you, like, all of a sudden you go to one Survivor party and you know everything about Australian Survivor. And why don't you tell us about New Zealand Survivor too, huh?
South Africa Survivor.
Yeah.
So, in the last season of Australian Survivor, there was something where like someone had to get an idol at a challenge, and they take the idol and they shove it in their pants, and then as they're walking back to the mat, the idol falls out of their pants, and everyone's like, "Oh, you just got an immunity idol in front of us." And I think the lady was like, oh yeah, haha, that's so funny, and just like kept it or something. And I was like, is this going to happen? Is like, are they going to notice that Dan steps back? Are they going to, you know, is he going to be revealed in any way? It was so tense.
Yeah. And I thought it was crazy how Dan played this whole moment. He kind of stood as far away from where he was going and was being like, good job, John. Well done, John. And then kind of just walked back and nobody noticed because they were so focused. But that's a tough one, man, to go back there and do that. You almost have to, you have to do like the fake, like, and like walk back and do like a walk around, and then you pick it up. Kind of how Troy Zan was like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And he wasn't tired. So I do think that that's something you have to do. The good thing for Dan is his pants are the tightest things maybe ever made. So a lot of tight pants on this season, and Dan is certainly wearing,
not gonna fall
wearing out. A pair. Yeah, nothing's coming out of this.
They were also in the middle, right? So you step back, and there are people on either side of you that could look over. And I guess like if you see someone getting an idol, do you like call them out and be like, hey, Dan just got an idol? Like, I don't know.
Or do you just not say anything and keep that information for yourself, and then you know? I mean, it's interesting, though, because he had to wait until Purple was done because they were behind him, so he couldn't do it when they first went by. Because if he would have done that, Lyrsa or somebody over there would have caught him because they were facing that direction. They weren't focused on what was going on in front of them yet. So had you know, one of the tribes gotten it super, super quick, which wouldn't have happened, but had somebody done that, Dan could have been in a little bit of trouble there because – where the bag was behind the mats, and you know, his team was unfortunately actually in first. He would have rather have been in last coming up to that moment.
Yeah. Another question that I had while I was watching the episode, if you don't have the clue to like the challenge idol, are you still able to get it, right? Like maybe in future seasons, could you just be like, oh, there's a thing that an idol could be under, and then you like reach your hand under it and then get it? Like, is that possible?
I think what they said is that they know if somebody finds the clue and then they hide it. They don't just, it's not hidden at every, it wasn't hidden at the other two posts.
Right. But if Dan found the idol and then it was put underneath the thing, can Gabby, when she's untying the thing, reach underneath it and grab it?
Yeah. If she sees it. Yeah. Why not? Right.
Yeah. So why not? I guess to future Survivor players, go reach under things at challenges. Maybe you'll find an idol.
Be paying attention.
Really lucky. Yeah.
Could you imagine Gabby untied that, felt it, pulled it out, and then Dan doesn't notice that Gabby has it and he's reaching for it?
That would be insane. That would be so good.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good point. I don't know. I don't know what would happen, but I will say the way they've handled idols on this season, I know Dan now has two, so it could become a lot later on, but so far the way they've handled it, this was such a short moment of the episode, him finding that clue, looking for that clue, so quick.
So yeah, I was expecting them to pull a reversal because he was like, I want to get Gabby out next. And then he's like, I'm going to go looking for the idol because I know like there is one. I was thinking they were going to do a reverse of the premiere and have like Gabby be like, oh, I already found the idol.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, that would have been really good. But, you know, like he said, he's knowing what to look for now. And that's what a lot of Survivor players have said is once you find one, it becomes so much easier to find another one because you know what you're looking for.
Like with Ty on Game Changers where he's just like, I'm just going to go to this well and then pour the water on the thing. Boom, I have two. So
yeah, exactly. So now Dan has two idols and he had to watch one of his girls get voted out. So what's he got? He's got Kara that he's going to save.
Yeah, just keep it for yourself. You don't need to make a live tribal. Or right, it would be great TV and I would love it. So
And I will say this too, as I'm sitting here watching this, does it feel like Dan's gonna have that idol nullifier played on him now that he has two idols and he's feeling confident? But how not getting a huge edit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm liking Dan, but he's not getting the biggest edit on this season by any means. Do you think that this is gonna end up biting him?
I don't know. I have no semblance on what's going to happen in the future. Right now. I just feel like he's going to like use an idol and then like it's going to work. And then he's going to like misplay the second idol or something and nothing's going to happen. It doesn't feel like he's a big enough character for like a big blindside to happen against him.
I don't know though, because you know, if you think about it, he had a really big first episode and then tonight he was pretty prevalent. And now because he's finding idols, people are going to remember that he's the guy with two idols. So I don't know. I'm feeling like if it's not going to happen to Davey.
No one knows he has the second idol, though. Everyone just knows he has one.
Yeah, so, but that could be enough, though, because if they catch wind and they can play the nullifier, they only need to know he has one. They don't need to know he has two.
So just do the Gabon thing and throw it into the ocean. Then you have a second idol, which people actually don't know about.
Mm. But I think people would be like, wait, he's a little too confident to be throwing that away. I think people have gotten smarter, and then they'll be like, well, screw it. We'll just vote out Dan. Remember, the people who threw the Gabon idol into the water, they all lost.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. You know,
but no one's thrown an idol into the ocean and had a second idol.
That's true. That's true.
Pave the way for survivor strategy.
There you go. Well, now I think you've overcomplicated this one. I think that this is too much.
Yeah. He just needs to play the idol and then, you know, play the next one, the next thing. So,
yeah. So I think Alexa, as long as the World Series doesn't go to Game 7, Alexa's going to be back next Wednesday. So this might be your last recap episode you do for quite a while. So I want to ask you while you're here, as you're going to start watching this play out and you've seen now what's going on here, I want to ask you, who are you thinking from each of these tribes? If each one were to go to tribal next week, who goes home? And who's your winner pick right now? Who are you seeing in like your final three? I'm putting you completely on the spot. I did this to Vaughn. I want to do this to you.
So let's see. So Jabroni tribe, if they go to tribal council right now, I would probably say Angelina goes home because I would say that Mike sticks with Lyrsa and Nick. If green tribe Tiva goes home or goes to tribal council, probably Gabby. As much as my like 30 seconds of hanging out with her has made me love her. She is probably, you know, Christian got pulled over to the Brochachos and Allison has the connection through being a Goliath. And then the last tribe, whatever color they are, orange, Vuku. It's so hard. They're like Vuku's like Nuku, which is like so much.
I know.
It's like I can't keep track of all these. It's just the colors. But probably I would say Kara.
Kara. Because
Alec works with the Davids and then Kara's the odd one out and she doesn't have a connection with anyone.
See, I actually think Alec would be the one who goes home. I mean, it seems like Davey's really playing this game really hard and it seems like he'd rather keep Kara around than Alec around. So I actually think that Alec would go home on that tribe. I think that Allison might go home on the other one because right now, the way I'm watching the Davids kind of pull through here and we haven't seen Allison's connection with a lot of them, and she'd get into trouble by trying to actually go over and talk to Gabby. And since we haven't seen much of Allison, I'm all of a sudden like a sudden uptick normally means goodbye. But I do agree with you that I think Angelina goes home if Purple goes. I think that's one that I agree with you. So who's your like final three and winner if you had to pick it now? I want to.
Jeez, final three and winner. I've seen rumblings on Twitter that like John has a really good edit. Mayor Slamtown.
He does have a great edit.
Which would be hilarious. And I've tried to like last season I was like super into Edgic, but now I'm just like trying to avoid it as much as possible. I do think John, like, cause he's there just enough right? And he's able to, he has strong connections, and he has like, he had that moment with himself, or how he said that he like, it's easy for him to perform in front of like thousands of people, but like on the one-on-one, it's a little bit like, it's a little harder. This is difficult. Let's go with, is this like top three people to make the final three, or who I think the final three is going to be?
I want to hear what you think the final three would be. You know, I like doing this. I like putting you on the spot, because, you know, me and Alexa are going to talk about it to death once Alexa comes back. So I want to hear what you're saying here.
Yeah. I feel like Gabby gets blindsided at some point. That's just, this is all gut feelings. I'm going to say, I feel like Christian could go out like fourth or something. I'm not even saying anything of who I think is the top three.
That's what I'm noticing.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm stalling to give myself more time. Let's go Elizabeth, Christian, and then a Goliath, because why not? Mike. Just for the hell of it. Because if I'm right, then I'm a legend. And then let's go with winner being Christian.
See, here's what I think is going to happen. I like right now what I'm watching here. I like Davey a lot, and I like John.
Yeah.
I think Davey and John are getting great edits, and I think Christian has to fall short. I would be shocked if Christian wins the game, and I'm not really going to fault the pick, because he could easily win. I just feel like at some point, I think you were right. Christian has to lose, doesn't he?
It's like the David Wright edit. I mean, it's not a growth edit, but we can't have this much of Christian throughout the entire season. And maybe he like dies down a little bit and we get a little bit less of him like mid jury or something. I didn't want to like, you know, I could have done a full analysis, but then we would have been here for 10 minutes. And I don't think we really want to see that. But yeah, Davey has a great shot. John has a great shot. You know, Davey having an idol, and he's still like, you know, he's an enjoyable character. Still has a good shot. So.
Yeah. And I honestly still think Gabby's going to end up somehow getting to the final three. She's getting a lot of screen time, man. She's getting so much, you know, out of all the women, her and Kara are getting a lot. And I think that Gabby's had such an underdog story that I wouldn't be surprised if she's the last David standing. I really wouldn't.
That's true.
You know, underdog, just from everything we've seen.
Growth edits don't win, though, I heard.
I'm not saying she's going to win. She's my winner pick, but I don't think – I mean, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean she's going to win. I really think John's going to win. What I'm watching right now
– the thing is, if John wins, that is like one of the best timelines, because if we get Mayor of Slamtown, John Hennigan, as Survivor 37 winner – isn't that like it's like a, so Ken Hong is like from Kenny from Gabon. He's like, I'm also super into like Super Smash Bros. He's like one of the best players of all time. So if he like won that season, it would have been like these two really niche things that I'm into. And it's like, Ken is the best of both of them. So yeah. I'm sure there are some WWE Survivor fans that are like, oh yeah, I want John to win. So.
Well, and not for nothing. I mean, it's something that would actually probably be kind of good for the show, because it shows that these more famous people can actually win the game, because we've seen so many of them on the show, but we've never seen one actually pull it out. I'm not talking Survivor famous. I'm talking Jeff Kent or something like that. Lisa Welch made it all the way to the final, but she was never going to win. So I think it would almost be good for the show if somebody like that wins, because then it proves that, yes, everybody who steps on the island does actually have a chance to win.
Right. And I feel like Jeff Probst has been like trying to get this narrative across, especially like when Cochran won, of like, oh yeah, anyone can win, but it's still hard to find like anyone out of anyone. And you know, the famous people, they're, you know, agreeing with your point, there still hasn't really been like a super famous person that like already has like, you know, millions of dollars that has won this game.
Yeah.
I didn't check all my facts there, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I'm sure you'll get ripped apart even though you try to.
That's okay.
That's what happens, man. That's the life.
The vicious YouTube commenters.
Yeah.
I love all of you. It's okay.
Well, here's a Twitter comment from Survivor Rules and I Love Halloween. So this jacket just ended Angelina's game. Not one of these Goliaths are smart enough to say, I'm fighting for the tribe I'm currently in. So, of course, the Davids are going to stick together, along with the low people on Goliath's side like Mike and Alec. So do you think – I think that this does end Angelina's game. I don't think that she should have – she should have just kept to herself that she wanted the jacket and just hoped that Lyrsa didn't bring it with her. Plus, you bring it up to somebody who is, like, the loudest person. All you really did was – you know, when you have to stand up for yourself. And I like that Natalie put Angelina on the spot, because it's like you do realize this is your fault with the whole jacket situation. So I do feel like that was necessary. And, yeah, I think that it ended her.
I think it was hard for Angelina, because if you – you're on this tribe and you have the only people that you're really close with are Mike and Natalie, and you're not really close with the David. So you don't want to like talk about this jacket thing. Also, you want their jacket. You know, Mike is talking to you about like maybe flipping the vote. So you don't want to go to him. So you go to the one person who you know isn't going to tell anybody, but they also happen to be the loudest person who's going to try to make it happen no matter what. So I think that was a tough situation for Angelina to be in also.
And so then next we have Giovanni and Rihanna. That pre-jury trip must be a nightmare to manage with Jeremy, Natalia, and Natalie. That's got to be awful. That has to be terrible.
That must be they're different off the camera, and then they all got to be best friends or something.
I doubt that very much.
You know, you can be optimistic. I'm a glasses a third full kind of guy. So
yeah, a third full. I like that. Yeah. So then we have Survivor Rules again. Can we talk about Dan having two idols? What are the odds he tells at least Kara about this one too? So this is something that I thought was interesting about this. Dan didn't tell anybody about this one. And I think that he's woken up a little bit to the game, especially since Natalia went home. I think he's woken up and like, okay, I need to keep this one to myself. I think he knows that a lot of other people know about his other idol, and he wants this one to stay a Dan idol.
Yeah, I think the first one, he was kind of like, because he found it with other people. So you have to be like, oh, yeah, guys, I found this for us. Mm-hmm. Also, there is that like, there is the question of, do I tell people about this idol to use it for power or like to sway votes or something? Or do I keep it to myself to maintain a secret? I think he's able to actually have the best of both worlds, having an idol that people know about and an idol that he keeps secret.
Yeah.
I think it would be really dumb of him to tell people that he has a second idol.
The only problem is with the idol nullifier, since everybody knows he has one, the second one doesn't protect him. And so if they say, oh, he's going to play the idol, but they catch wind and they can play their nullifier on him, then he could go home with an idol in his pocket, because the first idol that he plays doesn't matter because it's nullified. And everybody knows that he has that one.
Well, so who does anyone else know about the nullifier besides Carl?
No, he hasn't told anybody. At least we didn't see him tell anybody tonight.
Yeah, I think... and it's hard because they don't know about the no one else knows about the nullifier. They don't even know that it exists, right? Yeah. So that's a sticky situation for our man Dan here.
It really is. This could be the worst time in the history of Survivor to actually have two idols.
Yeah, I did. I was very curious. He is the seventh person to have two idols at the same time.
Oh, who are the other six? Do you have that off the top of your head?
Oh, I have. I'm gonna try to do it without unlocking my phone. So it's Malcolm, James, Ty. Jeremy Collins. Okay. I'm going to talk while I get the other two people out off of my phone. That's all I remember.
All right. Well, that's good. I mean, I remember, obviously everybody remembers James having two at the same time.
Parvati and Tony. Those are the other two.
Yeah. I remember Parvati Heroes versus Villains, cause she gave them away to Sandra. Yeah,
and then Tony had the super idol and then the normal idol. So
yeah, there you go. All right. Well, there you go. There's our fact checking by intern. Yeah. Let's see here. JP Porter, do you think someone will ever get caught trying to find one of these idols at a challenge? I think eventually, but they don't do it enough right now.
Yeah. How many has it been? Like three, four, maybe?
It was Kelly, Troyzan, and now this one.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I guess like it hasn't been prevalent enough that people are looking out for it really on the seasons. But you know, maybe they're realizing that putting it under the thing right behind you as the other team, as your team focuses on something, is too easy, and they'll make it more difficult to get.
Well, I also do think right now, because it doesn't happen every single episode or every single season.
Every episode, that'd be wild.
Yeah, well, that'd be wild. But people aren't looking for it as much as they might be looking for it at like other things. Like they're always worried about an idol, but they might not be looking for an idol at a challenge, because one, you have to guess the challenge right. Two, you have to be like on your toes the entire challenge, watching every single other person, not just the challenge happen. And it doesn't happen every season. I mean, the last time it happened was back in 34, and we're now on 37. So that's a pretty big gap in terms of Survivor idols.
And like, what if what if you're like a, like you want to be looking up for people that are having the idols, but you're doing the slide puzzle and you're doing the challenge and you aren't able to look out for that. I mean, you can't just be like, sorry guys, I need to like throw this challenge a little bit to make sure none of you guys are looking for idols. Like that's never going to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. Somebody said Lauren Rimmer's shell as well. Is that a challenge? I forgot about that.
That's a challenge. That was right in front of her because it was
that's right.
The plates and then, but that's not really like, that's not like an idol. It's like, oh, you found a cool shell. I don't know.
Yeah, but it counts as an idol, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's
visually, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Gamer Girl, your thoughts on Natalie saying it was a beautiful day and then rain the next second. I mean, I thought that summed up Natalie in the season. You know, she's just loving all of it.
So much fun.
Yeah. And then Gamer Girl asks, is anyone else shocked that Alec might actually make the merge? I'm not going to believe it till I see it, but I'm shocked he's made it this far and has really been as positive and as much fun to watch as he's been.
I've had so much fun watching him.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, you know, last week may not have been the best choice for him, but mm-hmm. it's fun watching him play. That's all I care about.
Exactly. That's where I'm at too. All right, well, you have anything else for this episode? What do you got? Anything?
I'm pretty sure that's all the stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Cool. Yeah, we went through everything I had on my notes here. So I think that I think that this season, I mean, I think it's 5 for 5 right now. I'm not gonna sit here and say like, you know, these are the five best episodes in the first 5 episodes of like any season, because I think like older seasons, they're just a different style of watching. You're watching mm-hmm. a completely different show. But in terms of modern Survivor, this is absolutely like one of the first seasons where I've enjoyed every single episode. I've enjoyed watching all the characters. I feel like we've lost somebody every week, but we also haven't lost anything from the actual show moving forward. So yeah, I'm loving this right now.
Yeah, no, fantastic season. You know, if you have me on again more, then it'll guarantee more good episodes. So, you know,
I'm not going to lie, man, you might have just broken the record for most live viewers we've ever had without having a guest on. So I'm just letting you know that we went over 200.
Ooh, that's good.
Never go over 200 live. So I'm telling you, man, it's your face or something. I don't know.
I can't even count 200. So that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Hey, dude, it would take way too long to count to 200 anyway. So I don't blame you.
Where's the time for that?
Nobody. But all right, intern. Well, if you want to say anything, you want to say any last words, now's your chance, because I'm about to give the exit interview here, or not the exit interview, whatever Alexa does. I'm about to do it. Yeah, I'm about to fail at it.
I don't know. It's been fun. I didn't think I'd get a second chance to be on this podcast. Haha, second chance.
There you go.
Survivor joke.
Sarah Lucina did it.
Yeah, haha. I'm the new Sarah Lucina of this podcast. So, appreciate Phil and Alexa giving me a chance to put things into spreadsheets for them when I have time, as well as fill in for Alexa when she's watching baseball, which is super cool. So, that's it. Done.
Now you're going to get Alexa in trouble. She's not just watching baseball. It's her job, everybody. It's her job, okay? She's not like what Will used to do. Will used to watch the were you around during the Will days or no?
I was around during the Will days.
Yeah, he used to like be like, oh, the Warriors are playing in the championship tonight. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. Survivor's on. Like, go tape the Warriors game.
I had the fan theory. I was part of the fan theories of like, oh, Will's on Survivor, and that's why he's leaving the podcast.
Were you one of the people who thought he was actually on?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome, dude. That's great. We would literally sit there and laugh. Like, me and him would laugh together at all of those little comments and stuff. It was great.
Are you close enough to him that he would have told you if he was on Survivor? Because like, there's like an NDA thing or something. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think he would have told me, but I mean. You know.
But what if he got one up on you and you guys were joking together about how he wasn't on Survivor and then he was, and then you were wrong?
Well, considering he had reached out to me times when he was actually out in Fiji, I don't think that he would have actually, he would be like, yo, it's raining. You know.
Gotcha.
So I would have been pretty shocked if he would have had a cell phone and then ended up on the season. I probably would have called bullshit on Survivor as a whole.
Yeah. Jump the shark.
So. So that's it for our episode 5 recap. Alexa will be back on Sunday, I believe. I know she's actually going to be at the Dodgers game if there's a game 5. There might not even be a game 5, but we'll find out. She's going to be in LA, so we're hoping to be able to pull something together while she's out here. And then follow us on Twitter. Follow us on – it's at Survivor Specialist. Follow us on YouTube. We're getting up there. We're almost at 4,000. Follow us on Facebook. I never post there. Alexa does. I also like today that Alexa tweeted out that, you know, Intern and Phil are going to be live, and everybody thought that I would have tweeted that. That wasn't me. That was Alexa, and she didn't even ask if I was going to do it. She just knew I wasn't going to. So
that was Alexa. Alexa tweeted hashtag Intern, not you, Phil.
That was her. That was her. Also, I didn't even say your name one time this entire episode. Very proud.
I know. My name is Robert. Hello.
Hi, Robert. I mean, you gotta play. It's like, what was it back when PTI was famous? Back before it became just PTI. Now Stat Boy was the guy who ends up doing Around the Horn. So that could be you, man. I forget what his name is, but he was just Stat Boy. They would call him Stat Boy, and then he ends up hosting. He takes over for Max Kellerman.
I'll be Stat Boy. I'll just, you know, you guys be doing a podcast, and you're like fact check Intern, and then I send you guys a text real quick saying yes, and then there you go. That's my new job.
And we'll all know for sure that you actually got that information from either Vaughn or Gamer Girl anyway, so you didn't actually know. But yeah, so we'll be back some point on Sunday, so keep an eye out for that. Leave some mean or nice comments. I don't care. Just leave something about Intern.
If you leave enough good comments about me, then Phil will force to bring me back. So do that. I want to come back.
That's what he likes to do. But you know what? If you leave enough negative comments, I'll get a lot of Friday night drunk texts from Intern where he's crying about it. So, you know, either way, it's a win-win for me, and it's a win-win for everyone. So
do it for Phil. Do it for Phil.
Do it for me. But yeah, so I'll look out for Twitter because Alex and I will be live at some point Sunday. We don't know when, though. So bye.
Bye.